This podcast is brought to you by Homo Casino Resort, the player's place.
Coming back with more John Connor from Matt Friars. First, though, it is time to announce our biggest fan for a Tuesday. If you hear your name called, you'll have 10 minutes to call us back at 833-288-0973 and qualify for our grand prize. Coming up, 20 tickets for you and your friends for a night in our Odyssey Suite at a Padres game next season with all the fan staff catered by Spiro's Mediterranean Cuisine. And this morning's biggest fan is Peggy Going to go with Geyer from San Diego, G-E-I-E-R. Peggy, Geyer from San Diego, you are the biggest fan. You are now on the clock for the next 10 minutes at 833-288-0973. Give us a call, and if you haven't gotten your name in for our drawing yet, you can do so now at 973thefansd.com/biggest fan. Pauly, I'll get to our Randall Report headlines a little bit later this hour, but John Conniff treating us for another few minutes here, and I teased the question, John, before we went back. We know the Padres need pitching. They said yesterday they're not likely to convert Mason Miller or David Morgan or Adrian Morejon to the starting rotation. Do they have any internal options that could possibly come up, maybe even out of spring training or early in the season, that could be major league ready pitchers in their minor leagues right now?
I was still thinking when you asked that question. So
I think that answers that question.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, a couple of the guys that we had at the top, at least on mine, three of them. I mean, Miguel Mendez, he's the guy who just got promoted to Double-A. He probably needs a full year because, I mean, he was able to bully people with a – it's a really different-looking guy. He's about 6'2", maybe 170 pounds after a couple trips to the buffet line.
Just like me when I look in the mirror.
Like
6'2", 170, lean, just leaned out.
He needs a little bit more with his secondary pitches to be better. Jagger Haynes is a guy I've always liked a lot, but I think Jagger is more of a back-end guy. He needs really to improve his secondary pitches to have a shot in the major leagues. He's a good guy to watch, and the two top guys, Cruz Schoolcraft and Cash Mayfield, are both, you know, enable.
I almost just said Cash Hightower, but there,
Is that
Cobb Hightower?
Cobb Hightower. He's gone, Hightower. Right?
He's gone.
He went to Baltimore.
Correct.
Okay.
He was in the deal.
Now, we have the guys you just mentioned.
They kept Kavarez Tears, right? Or they traded him to
Light Tower Power.
No,
they traded him
Kavarez Tears. No, Kavarez Tears is here.
Yeah, he kept him.
Who are the two that you just mentioned?
Cruz Schoolcraft.
Cruz Schoolcraft.
The 6'8" lefty throws in the high 90s.
Yep.
And so you don't need the $5 a month to pay us to know that that's someone we think is interesting.
We like him.
Yeah,
6'8", 98 mile an hour throwing lefty.
He's got a good changeup. He's working on a slider in progress. He's only 18.
Wow.
You know, Cash is someone to watch.
How old is he?
He's going to be 20, sure. He was an extra year in high school.
You know, you see
if the Padres are in contention this year at the trade deadline, will either of those be in the Padres system in August?
You know, as much as I hate sounding like Steve, I would say yeah.
What
you're looking at is these guys are getting older. You only have so many years where Manny's going to be, and Manny's my favorite Padres, a baseball guy. You have just about I think he had maybe a 1 to 2 year window, more of our negative people on our staff, like David, think it's more like one. So they have to move. There's going to be two different plans between the 1 and 2 year window compared to the other one, where you're going to need young guys coming up, and you guys are going to have to restrain yourself about trading prospects at that time.
Which is fine. We've had our fun.
Yeah, I think that was one of my favorite lines when I used to go on Darren Smith's show. He actually said one of the nicest things was when they had the Soto trade. He said, you know what? If we get one pennant, one World Series, I'll take that. I can deal with 10 years of crap. We'll bring John Conniff on a lot each month. I like John. He's fine. And he can talk about prospects. And we can talk about tanking. But I want the one flag.
Yeah, got to have the one flag.
Someone who's, as I get reminded by a couple the morons in your chat, that I'm very old, is I can remember when they went to the World Series in 84. And I was 19, and they got beat, and I was really kind of sad. And some older guy, who was probably a couple years younger than me now, said, hey, the Padres are going to be different. They're not going to be like they were from, like, 69 to 84. You're going to see a few World Series titles. So I was 19.
Been holding on hope.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've been 19 years old, you know? And so I want to see them win.
Yeah.
I mean, I want one World Series. And as a person who is, you know, moved to San Diego in the 70s. I mean, set through the Chargers, the Clippers, kind of like Ben. I want one championship. I don't think that's a lot to ask.
I don't think so either. And I, you know, you saw a couple of teams last year employ these young. I mean, Yasavage is pretty young, right? And and Mizorowski, guys like that, pretty young, up through the system pretty quick. No opportunity. There's nobody kicking down the door potentially. You know, you don't know what somebody's offseason looks like. You don't know what kind of steps they take in the first couple of months of the season. Anything, you know, out of all those guys you listed, who could you see the Padres going, hey, this may be a little bit early. It may be, but, you know, I think Trey Yasavage certainly opened a lot of eyes last year. Pitched in every level of the minor leagues last year.
Maybe some of the other guys will see it. I really don't see it. But, you know, I'd be fair is that, you know, a year ago, I think we were talking about that this off the air. You know, David Morgan is one of the best stories.
Sure.
And I thought he was very good. I didn't think he would be as good as quickly as he became. And the best story about him was he went to OCC, then he went to Hope International, was playing center field, was planning on taking graduate school tests. And then the manager said, hey, why don't you just try throwing off the mound once, which never really was clear why they didn't try that before. So he steps on the mound and he throws about 94, and the guy goes, okay, let's see what kind of works here.
Yeah, let's make you a pitcher.
Yeah, then he takes the Padres catch him in a summer league with the Portland Pickles, which is a great name. And before he has a tryout, his buddy tells him, hey, you got to have one breaking pitch. They're not going to sign you just with a fastball. And so he goes, watches a YouTube video, and is throwing curveballs in his buddy's garage, gets signed. And the thing about him, which is so much fun to talk about, is he thinks this is all gravy. He never expected that he would be in this spot.
Sure.
And he's a really great, great kid to talk about. And tremendous shape, too. He's tremendous baseball shape. He's really strong from here to here, about 6 feet. I don't see him as a starter.
No, it couldn't be a starter.
No. Well, I don't think he has enough pitches. I thought of all the three guys that you guys have mentioned, I thought Morahone had the best chance to do it. But I'm happy to see Morahone do well because we'd mentioned him for years, and I know you guys were probably getting sick of, oh, God, if Konoff talks about Morahone one more time,
it was Eno Saris for 3 years has been saying, Morahone, 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 Morahone. We're like, bro, we just don't see it. And then he found that role and best left-handed relief pitcher in baseball last year.
It took six, 7 years?
Yeah.
Like, it took a while.
It did.
Like, I think it was warranted groaning.
Almost sometimes, though, it's kind of a good lesson. Sometimes you do need to be a little patient with your prospects.
Well, you know, Morahone, you got to remember, he came from Cuba at 16. Yeah. I remember I talked to him. I think Dave and I both talked to him and Onya. And Morahone, when we first talked to him, sat there whole time down through an interpreter. Just head was down, very shy. And then I think about 2 years later, I talked to him in San Antonio when he was doing a rehab. I was talking in English, halftime, back and forth, much more relaxed. I can't imagine being 16 years old going to another country, especially as different as Cuba was then, and trying to succeed.
Yeah, John, let me ask you, if the Padres try to deal from a position of strength to address the rotation or even add some power or first base, the bullpen is still their strength, especially if they're keeping Mason Miller there, Adrian Morejon, David Morgan. Jason Adam is trending to be back, if not, you know, spring training early in the season. Bradley Rodriguez, you know, we got to see him at the big league level. Get your thoughts on him. We didn't even see Brian Hoeing much. He was very good a couple of years ago. He's still a Padres reliever. Don't know exactly what happened to him. Had a 3.38 ERA and 8 innings for the Padres last year. I don't know if it was health related or he just got passed up by other people in the organization. What of those players? And then there's Jeremiah Estrada, you know, who I've brought up as a potential trade possibility simply because he's shown so much on the big league level. I feel like that could be enticing to other teams. Where do you kind of go if you're dangling a reliever from that group to try to address other needs?
You know, I think that's a very good question, but I think that's difficult because it would depend upon who's coming
back.
Who's coming back, what they would want. I mean, the Padres are going to be pretty strong in the bullpen in El Paso again, too. They've always had, I mean, it's weird. Even going back to the days of Kevin Towers, they've always had an ability to find guys and who could throw like one good pitch and one so-so pitch. I mean, I think if Steve was running the Padres, he'd probably tell his farm director, like, every year, I want at least one dude who's got a big fastball and half of another pitch.
Yeah, the guys we see come up usually, he throws 87 and crafty. I see these demons coming out of some other pens, and I know we've had some certainly. Bradley was one of them, I thought. It was pretty nasty, dude. Can't be upset about him at all, but, you know, some of the guys we were bringing up for years, for 3-4 years in a row, we're like, I'm bringing this guy up. He tops out about 91. what era are we playing in here? Like, this isn't the same ballgame some of these other teams are playing.
Well, one thing is, and this kind of helps having El Paso as a AAA farm team, if a pitcher is putting up numbers
yes.
in El Paso,
they can pitch.
In that era and where the ball does not, especially the ball doesn't move in the zone,
yeah.
then that guy, there's not a whole lot that's going to really frighten the guys.
Right.
I mean, the players naturally are much, much better. But, yeah, I mean, there's some guys to look at there. Padres, I think, have a lot of young catchers in their system, which could be something that teams could look at. They could deal with some depth there. You know, Lamar King, they had two guys they drafted, gave a lot of money to in the draft, and Ty Harvey and Truett Madonna. You know, and I mean, you know, I could see them even moving, taking a shot at moving Ethan Salas.
Yeah. Is there a bat? Sure. Is there a bat down there that's creeping? I mean, it's funny. Not a pitcher, not a starter, maybe a reliever.
I think I'm probably higher
on a bat
on,
knocking at the door.
I'm probably higher on him than maybe the other guys. Well, I did like Alex McCoy a lot when I saw him in Lake Elsinore. He's a left fielder out of Baltimore. Went to University of Maryland on the Eastern Shore, then went to Hofstra. He's an athletic 6'7", 280 pounds. You know, they've even let him run around center field a little bit. So the first thing that would probably pop in your mind is, okay, if he's this good, why was he signed as an undrafted free agent? And so, you know, in high school, he is about 6'4 and a half, was playing third base. He goes to college mainly as a football player, decides he likes baseball more, grows a couple inches, then goes to Hofstra, you know, has a really good season there. And then the way the draft is set up, it's like a lot of guys liked him, but they weren't enough like to kind of dip into their pool money. So he was offered like the same amount of money to go in different rounds, but the Padres kind of reached out to him early, signed him for $150,000, which is the max he's going to get in the draft anyhow.
Yeah.
And if you're kind of a team, another place, you'd go, I like him, but he hasn't really played that much competition.
Sure.
I'm not really willing to go over that. So, I mean, that's a guy I kind of like a little bit because you can have a story behind why he could be good. You know, he could go to Fort Wayne. He could see some much better pitching than there is in low A. He could, you know, it's going to be tough hitting the sliders and maybe recognizing the changeups. But the one thing I like about him a lot, other than his athleticism and size, is when you talk to him, he's this guy that's just amazed. He has so many opportunities to work on things
yeah.
to get better. He didn't have that in his previous colleges. And that's kind of a really neat kid. He had a very solid two-strike approach when I saw. And, yeah, I mean, 6'7", 280, athletic, likes to run. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, see what happens. Love it.
But, you know, hopefully the Padres don't need to rush any hitters. The lineup looks fairly solid with an addition two. But the pitching remains kind of thin. John, really appreciate you coming
Thank
in
you,
studio.
Buddy.
Really enjoyed the catch-up, as always, and enjoy the rest of your time here in San Diego.
Well, thank you, as always, for having me, guys. I'm a big fan of listening to you guys on the East Coast. You make the day go by a little bit quicker on the app.
And thank you.
Thanks for having me on.
Our pleasure.
Don't forget, John's colleague, David Jay, is the one that's putting together our big Hop Run tours for our unforgettable trip to the Windy City next summer to watch San Diego take on Chicago, one of the most historic stadiums in all of baseball. The package from Hop Run Tours will include round-trip airfare, hotel accommodations for 3 nights at a 4-star hotel, a stadium tour, and tickets to 2 games, plus a group dinner with Ben and Woods. Visit 973thefansd.com/Chicago for all the details. This special fan trip brought to you by Hop Run Tours, who handles all the travel and event details. 973 The Fan is proud to promote this package. Our thanks again to John Conniff. We'll come back, still have our Rattle Report headlines and some SDSU basketball tickets to give away, all coming up after a quick check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. First, though, Daily Fantasy. My place is Prize Picks. I've been doing it for a couple of years now. Really enjoy the way they set it up. The app, very easy to use as I set my daily lineups, simply picking against the numbers, stat projections from 2 to 6 players. The more you pick, the more you can win. Up to 6, up to 2,000 times your money. I rarely go for the big scores. I actually like playing 2 or 3-player lineups. I'll even do the flex play, where you put 4 or 5 in a lineup. Even if they don't all win, you can win 4 out of 5 and still make money on your daily fantasy lineup. You just download the app by going to prizepicks.com and use the code KWFN. And when you do that, you're going to get $50 in lineups when you play your first $5 lineup. So lots of free play right at the beginning to get used to it, to see if you like it or not. Code KWFN to get $50 in lineups when you play your first $5 lineup. No obligation beyond that. It's very safe. I have put money in. I have taken money out. It is very easy with Apple Pay, Venmo, MasterCard, and other pay options. Now, quick, easy. Many tier ones are doing it. You could be next. Just go to prizepicks.com, download the app. It's Prize Picks, where it's good to be right. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for details. I am currently looking at a picture of Scott Boras in front of his own podium, his own backdrop at the winter meetings in Orlando. And I think he's set a new record because I see at least, I want to say, 60 to 80 reporters holding up cell phones. They're like six deep. I mean, this is like star quarterback level at Super Bowl Media Day is wow. What he's gotten to do his pun-filled analysis of all his clients at the winter meetings every year. Of course, we will be doing the discount version tomorrow. Ben Boras has been hard at work. Here's a little example for Zach Gallen.
This was actual Scott Boras?
This is actual Scott Boras. Yeah.
Oh,
just moments
my
ago.
God. Look at that picture.
Zach Gallen. For Zach, it's Cy quality. Never crude, always refined. When you pull up to the pitching pump, a gallon is always premium. He's exactly a rotation fit, no doubt.
Man.
Not bad. Here's Alex Bregman. In October, it's Alex in Wonderland. It's a regularly scheduled event, no
regularly.
Doubt. That's not great. This one's not bad. This is Ranger Suarez. In the postseason, when you add a Suarez, you're armed and rangerous.
Not bad.
Not bad.
I would love him.
So we'll have the discount versions tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
With Ben Boras. Our thanks again to...
Who is Tatsuyu Imai?
Yeah.
Is that... How do we...
Tatsuyu Imai?
Imai. He said, you have a 27-year-old pitcher who throws 98-99. Teams look at that and say, believe me, Imai wildest dreams. I never expected someone to be available like that.
Imai wildest dreams.
Wow, Imai. There you go.
Imai wildest dreams.
All right, well, so that's the bar.
That bar is hot.
Can Ben Boras
go under it? That's what we want. We want him under
I'm going
it.
Way under the bar.
Not over it. Can't wait for Ben Boras tomorrow. Looking forward to that. I'm ready for
one of my favorite segments.
I'm ready for Rhino Report, but I don't want to do it now.
No, we're going to do it at the bottom of the hour. First, I want to thank John Connor for coming in from Mad Friars.
Yeah, and ruining our lives.
Well, not really.
Totally. 100%. Hey, anybody knocking on the door for relief pitching? No. How about starting pitching? Nope. No. How about a bat? No.
No, not really.
All right. Awesome.
Great talk. We'll see you next year.
Great talk.
I'm sure if AJ Preller was sitting here, he'd be shaking his head going,
You dumb sons of bitches.
About. Yeah. I got seven guys that you haven't even heard of that are better than most prospects have in their entire organizations.
Dumb goobers.
That's how he does it. John appears, as every guest does, on our David P. Shapiro fan hotline. David P. Shapiro, criminal defense attorney, is helping good people regain control of their future when charged with a crime since 2010. Visit DavidPShapiroLaw.com. The updated breaking news this morning, Edwin Diaz to the Dodgers, Kyle Schwarber back to the Phillies in big moves from the winter meetings today. We talked about those earlier. Not a stunner for the Phillies. The Dodgers, certainly you can never be surprised when they go out and spend money.
Nope.
I think the biggest impact, though, is on the New York Mets. What do they do now? A team that, you know, wants to win a title, has hired David Stearns to do so, but still has Pete Alonso as a free agent unsigned, has lost their closer in Edwin Diaz. Do they need to go out and now make some sort of splash in terms of, are they going to sign Robert Suarez now to replace Edwin Diaz? Are they going to try to fill a closer's role on the trade market somehow? Is this imperative? Are fans going to riot if they don't get Pete Alonso back? Those are two fan favorites, Diaz and Alonso. Two of the favorites in Queens. If you lose them both in the same offseason after coming off a disappointing year in which you didn't make the playoffs, you're going to have a pretty unhappy fan base.
Steve Cohen, good owner, bad owner?
Good owner.
Good owner,
right?
Like a good owner committed to win, will pay $700 billion over the luxury tax if need be.
Hadn't won the chip, and I don't know if they're going to.
I don't either.
But what more can you ask for in an owner than at least going for it, trying, for an answer?
You can put all the blame on David Stearns, but at the same time, I think if I'm running that team and I go, well, I just saw that didn't work this year. Why do you want me to keep re-signing the players that didn't even get us to the playoffs? I want to do something new. I'm going to let these guys go. We're going to try shuffle the deck and bring in some different players. But it's hard to keep the fans happy and change direction all at the same time and promise a winning team on the field.
Correct.
So I think the Mets are the team to watch now at least in the next few weeks, to see what they do to respond to losing Edwin Diaz.
Like, they have to go full reactionary, don't they?
I feel like they do, but David Starks doesn't feel like
he doesn't do
a reactionary GM. He feels like one of the least reactionary
GMs. Let's wait it
out there.
Yeah, it's tough, man. It's a tough position to be in and a tough market to do it. They have not won a World Series in New York since when? Was it 86?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the last World Series they've won. They got the owner that was supposed to change it all. They got the GM that was supposed to change it all. And they got the player in Juan Soto that was supposed to change it all.
Shouldn't have won that one either, by the way.
Right, yeah. That's a really, really good point. Ground ball away from losing that one. Jesus, you're right. You're right. You're absolutely right.
Then you'd be going back to the Miracle Mets.
69. Man, it's a lot of we've had futility here, no doubt. But there's almost as much futility there in
New
York.
If not for a ground ball that should have been made by any competent baseball player, really on any level.
The 70-year-old on up. The 90-year-old that Mudd put in at first base at Fantasy Camp when I'm pitching had a better shot at that grounder than Billy Buckner from Beantown did.
And if he makes that play, then the Mets and the Padres are back to 1969. Padres never back to 1969. Yeah. Mets back to their only one.
That's it.
In 1969.
Yeah, absolutely right.
I mean, they're spending the money. They have talent, obviously. They have Juan Soto and Francisco Lindor and now Marcus Semien. But is it going to be enough to, you know, put them to where they want to go? Especially, you know, what's hurting all these teams, including the Padres and the Mets and the Phillies, who all want to go for it. They're all in championship windows right now.
Yeah.
In the National League. All of those teams are right there. The Braves have been in it. They had a bad season, but they still think they're in their championship window. Same thing hurts all of them. You know, it's the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Right. That's exactly right.
You have decided to open your championship window when the Dodgers have basically decided, no, we're just going to be the kings of the sport for a while.
Yeah, everyone's going to be the Bills. Like, you know, everyone's going to be the Buffalo Bills.
The Dodgers won, 12 out of 13 division titles or something, and yet they still were able to ramp it up a notch over these last 3, 4, 5 years.
Well, they're coming off a World Series victory, and they go, Edwin Diaz is out there? All right, it's just money. Go get him.
We love what Peter Seidler did, and this is the best era of Padres baseball, but boy, this would have been smart to do in the early 2000s when the Dodgers were owned by Frank McCourt.
Yeah, 100%.
And were mismanaged all over the place.
I mean, you could literally go out and sign
Suarez. You could
Suarez
win 85
today,
games and win the division in the National League West, and you didn't really go for it as much then as you could have. This is now the hardest time to go for it.
Zen Lighting, great point. Comparison is the thief of joy. 100%. Yes. Welcome to baseball. That's it, man. Comparing what you've got to what others have.
But it's not just Padres fans anymore.
No, it's not.
The whole sport is now.
It's not. It's not just Padres fans. Yeah. I mean, you're in the same division, but it's not. It's Giants fans too, man. They have their guy in Buster Posey that's running the ship now.
I promise Braves fans are like, Jesus Christ, they got another guy.
They've lost the Giants have, they got Buster Posey. They went out and they spent money on Willy Adames and Matt Chapman. Then they traded for Rafael Devers. And they got Tony Vitello with his fancy, perfectly manicured Frankie V beard.
We have to catch the Diamondbacks.
We have to catch the Diamondbacks, the Padres, and the Dodgers. I know.
Catching the Dodgers.
I know, man. I know. It's going to be interesting. So, somebody's got to take them down. Somebody's got to take them down.
All right, let's give away some tickets. San Diego State basketball, after a week off, returns to action tomorrow night at Viejas Arena. They will be hosting Lamar at 7 o'clock, and you can be there by winning tickets and calling now. Fourth caller at 833-288-0973 is going to win a pair of tickets to see the Aztecs against Lamar at Viejas Arena tomorrow night. 833-288-0973. You can get your tickets at GoAztecs.com. Final timeout. Paulie's got some Roundel Report headlines in the last segment, including a potential comeback that no one saw coming in the NFL. Next year on 97.3 The Fan.
But first, let me tell you, I just ran out in my giant jug of Eco Water. So that means I got to run to the kitchen, fill up with the best bottle quality water that you can possibly put into your body every single day. It is the best water that you can pump through the pipes in your home. It will not ruin your plumbing, your appliances, your water heater. It is the smartest, most practical upgrade you can make for your family. That's a decent, better than decent Christmas gift. Babe, guess what? I got us the EcoWater system. It's kind of what I did a few years back, and It's been awesome. It's revolutionary. They've been doing this since 1925. They patented the first self-regenerating water softener. Now, again, nearly a century later, they are still leading the way. Best water you can drink, no question. The reverse osmosis system gives you bottle-quality water straight from the tap. You add those alkaline filters, and I highly recommend those. Your hydration gets a healthy boost. Your skin feels better. Your coffee tastes better. And, yeah, you can drink your shower water. No question about it. I fill up my kids' water bottles from the tap in the bathroom every single night. I would not have done that 3 years ago. I promise you that. When your water is this pure, you can taste and feel the difference. So try the Soft Life and Alkaline Water now, just $9.95 a month, 760-350-3338, or visit EcoWaterSoCal.com. Let them know Woodsy sent you. Not everything in life should be hard, especially your water, keeping it soft since 1925.
A little breaking Padres news. It is from Bob Nightingale, but I do believe this one. It says, Manny Machado and Fernando Tatis Jr. will play for the team Dominican Republic for Albert Pujols in the 2026 World Baseball
nice.
Classic.
Are you kidding me?
Manny, of course, returning to the WBC. Fernando, though, first time playing. He was ineligible last time due to his suspension, I believe.
Yeah.
So he will be making his WBC debut coming up in just a couple of months for the Dominican Republic and former Padres managerial candidate Albert Pujols.
Yes.
So they will get to play for Albert after
all. Yeah, they will.
Just not the San Diego
Padres. Scratching their itches. There you go.
There they go. Paulie's got some Roundel Report headlines. We will get to those after our last check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
And get things started here with our edition, today's edition of the Roundel Report.
Now tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to the Rindle Report with Paul Rindle.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Rindle Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a
All right. Start off right here. Gentlemen, Benny, you teased it. Heading into our last break there, the return to the NFL that nobody saw coming. And yeah, this one shocked me.
I thought it was fake.
I'm, of course, talking about Jason Pierre-Paul. He, a veteran linebacker, is coming out of retirement to sign with the Tampa Bay Bucks. That was announced yesterday. They signed him to their practice squad.
I thought he retired to enjoy his remaining fingers. Sorry, remember he blew the fingers off his hand on the fireworks accident?
I remember.
No, he's back.
I thought you could have come up with a better
Jason Pierre-Paul.
He's going to teach the guys the 7-point stance.
It's not bad.
How old is he?
37?
36?
Okay. Practice squad guy. Depth, maybe.
Oh, he's a spring chicken compared to part two of this story, if I know what's coming.
Yes. No, it's Philip Rivers worked out with the Indianapolis Colts. Daniel Jones, we didn't really talk much football yesterday.
I feel so bad for that
dude. I was
dude.
Watching Red Zone Live when that happened, and they were talking about how he was dealing with a left leg injury.
Yeah, broken fibula.
Broken fibula. He's been fighting through that. He gets back, and I go, well, he's grabbing at his right leg. And it was an Achilles injury. Right leg. He's done. Probably missing most of next year, if not all of it. And the Colts are trying to just save a season where they started off so well.
Yeah.
I don't know that 44-year-old Philip Rivers is really the answer there, but they worked him out yesterday. He's like been at the facility, and I haven't seen an update if he's officially been signed or not.
I don't think they've signed him yet. I heard a report that he looked good in the workout. Now, he's already a grandpa.
He's a grandpa.
His oldest
44.
Is already
he
married.
44
with kid,
yesterday.
A kid. So
yesterday
he
was his birthday.
He is right. A grandfather,
he's
which
44.
Wouldn't be the first. Apparently, Brett Favre was still a player when he was a grandpa too. So
his oldest son, I just had
Gunner, right?
Philip Rivers' oldest son is older than players on the Colts right now. Currently,
Philip Rivers' oldest son.
His firstborn son is older than players on the Colts
and
roster.
Has kids or at least one child of his own. So he's a grandpa. I think one of the interesting parts of this story, though, is he retired 5 years ago. This was when he is eligible for the Hall of Fame in 2026. But if he comes back and takes even a snap, like a kneel down, he starts a five-year clock again before he can be considered for the Hall of Fame.
I don't think he has to worry about that too much.
Wouldn't, if you're
Philip... I don't know. You'd be surprised. I kind of agree with Paulie. I don't think that Philip Rivers is quite a Hall of Famer. But he'll get some consideration and some votes.
I think he'll get in. Here's the thing. If you're Philip Rivers, and you have a son, and he's your firstborn son, but you keep having kids around him, so he grows up with 8, 9, 10, 12, 13 brothers and sisters, whatever it is, don't you pull him aside and say, hey, listen.
They don't believe in that.
They don't.
No.
That's why.
Then just, maybe just.
He didn't have 12 because it was fun.
But just.
You have 12 kids?
I think he's up to 12. That's what I believe.
You know that
correct.
You can actually just remove. You can just, I can't, I don't know if I can say it.
10 children.
You know how you back out of a parking spot? Do the same thing.
When you go
back out of
when
the
you go to the
spot.
ATM and you put in your code, and then there's one of the options at the ATM.
Withdraw.
Right.
Yes.
What did you say? What did you call it?
Back out.
Right.
Withdraw.
Withdrawal.
Withdraw money.
There's an L.
Withdraw money. You don't withdraw money.
No, it's a withdrawal.
Right,
the
but you, with,
withdraw
you can withdraw money.
With a withdrawal. Right.
Yeah, I know. Okay. I'm not a hillbilly. You ever just think about maybe, hey, this, I know this is the moment. So at this point is when I start the car, slam it into reverse, and I clear out of that spot.
The
I
car just will tell you when it's time.
The car lets you know. As soon as you slam it into reverse, the car lets you know.
You have to be in tune with your car.
You
though.
Do have to be in tune with your car. A lot of guys aren't. A lot of guys aren't. Some of us are masters at it. Isn't that a conversation that's had? Or is it not?
I don't know that it is.
How old was he when he became...
He was in college when he got married and had their first. They had kids before, I believe, he even arrived at the Chargers and was drafted.
That kid's got a kid.
Yes. And I would assume he's got an uncle or an aunt who's probably only a couple of years older than they are, because they still have young kids as well.
God!
The Rivers family.
Bro, does... He's like, hey, I know I'm 44. You know I got like 15 kids running around my house. Any chance you guys want me back for a workout? Any chance I'll do anything you want. I'll mix the water and the Gatorade.
Hey, it's Philip. Hey, y'all, it's Philip. Yeah, no,
they need me.
Shut
the cults
up.
Are calling. They
shut
need
up.
Me.
Listen. I know. No. I'm old as hell, man. 44, I get it. I'm losing my dadgum mind here. You hear these kids in the background? My Costco runs are about... 15,000 a week. Get me to Indy right now. Get me to Indianapolis. 10 kids he's got. Man.
Just 10? I thought it was more.
10 kids, one grandkid.
10 grandkid, yep.
Yeah, just back out of the space.
10.
Gosh. 10. Hey, babe, you got Christmas all dialed in, or do you need any help? Or
the next time,
like the hardest thing in the world.
Two is impossible.
The next time, Bo and Taylor simultaneously give you a tough time. You know,
10.
Probably in a couple of hours.
A couple hours. Now, they both want to be picked up early from school today because they're both sick.
Now multiply it by 5.
You finally get them. You get 8 of them to sleep, and 2 of them are like, "Nah, sorry." They wake the other 8 up. You're like, "Ugh!" I don't have the constitution for it.
I know.
Man.
That is...
Well, hey.
We'll keep you up
please,
to date.
Please, why is it... Like, if I'm the Indianapolis Colts and this happens, and Philip Rivers comes in for a workout, I'm filming it. I want it shown to the world. Like, I want to see how he looked. There's no way he looked good. He has been coaching, I think, high school,
right? High school coaching.
So he's running around. He's been, you know, he probably still lifts weights and is healthy.
He was never the most nimble or athletic quarterback to begin with, either. He just stood there.
They're like,
the
he actually pretty much looks the same.
What he does. Right.
He's not lost back. A little bit of mobility. I mean, big
he,
deal.
He ran like a 44-year-old 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So.
It's like Ben. Ben's been 70 since he was 12. So,
yeah
it's the same thing. It's not going to change.
So
I mean, the dude played with the torn ACL because he didn't really ever move anyway.
He also didn't want to go home. That's why he played with a torn ACL. He did not want to go home and have to be around the house.
You might be onto something there.
His somebody posted a picture of this beautiful girl leaning against the wall, like, and it said Philip Rivers' wife, knowing she won't be pregnant for at least another few months. I'm like, oh my gosh, man.
Well,
good luck. There's got to be some other.
They got to make a decision here soon.
There's got to be some other spare part quarterbacks around. What's Josh Johnson doing? Isn't he in the league every year? Giving him, he's like, me again, yes.
For let's Josh go. Johnson out of USD.
There's got to be somebody out there.
All right. We'll stay in the NFL. Quick note. I don't think this was announced yesterday, but I did hear this little nugget on the Monday Night Football broadcast. They were coming back from a commercial break, and they were hyping up Super Bowl whatever is happening in a couple of months here up in Santa Clara. And that's on NBC, I believe. And then Joe Buck said also, next year, the year after that, in 2027, that is an ESPN ABC Super Bowl. And the date is what kind of surprised me. We've been creeping further and further into February over the last few years with the Super Bowl. And we've been making jokes like eventually, like, spring training will be underway by the Super Bowl. You keep adding these games or whatever. Super Bowl 2027 is taking place on Sunday, February 14th.
Absolutely brilliant. Valentine's Day. Brilliant.
I mean, what happens to the whole Valentine's date industry? It's going to be ruined. No one's going for a romantic dinner.
Good. When's the last time you went?
Opposite of the Super Bowl.
When is the last time you went for a romantic Valentine's Day dinner as a married man?
It's probably 2 or 3 years ago. We have our anniversaries the same weekend.
Yeah,
so.
No. We had reservations at Benihana last year, almost as a bit.
We did nothing.
And it was great.
I think we ordered Fish District.
We got there on Valentine's Day to Benihana, and there was like a 3-hour wait. We had a reservation, and they said, oh, you're looking at 2 to 3 hour wait. And
I made a reservation.
And so we just left and had In-N-Out.
It sounds like LabCorp. You should have just gone there for dinner.
Really, the 13th will be Valentine's Day night, and the 14th is Super Bowl Sunday. Now, that's the new window. So this year's Super Bowl, or the one coming up, is February 8th. That's the earliest it can possibly be now. It'll be somewhere between Sunday the 8th or Sunday the 14th, depending on how the weeks fall. It won't go earlier than the 8th. It won't go later than the 14th. But that's next year's the latest. This year is the earliest.
Interesting.
Hmm. Super Bowl 60 this year, by the way.
60.
LX.
All
right.
Super Would Bowl not 60. Have known that.
Super Bowl 61, Valentine's Day.
Wait until Super Bowl 67.
Quite a segue there.
That's a great segue.
Because my last story, now this is one, pretty much like any story actually nowadays that I find or you guys will send over to us, you got to triple check everything now. This sounded like a fake story. I thought, there's no way. And then like KTLA was writing about it, and I go, okay, there's at least something to this. Apparently, some In-N-Out managers and stores have gotten rid of the order number 67 on receipts because of the reaction that happens now for like the last, month or so of anytime a group of kids hear the word, you know, the numbers 6 and 7 together, they lose their mind. So In-N-Out now goes from order 66 to order 68. And then I believe they also go to 70 after that. I don't know if they have 69.
We're just eliminating numbers now from just the list of numbers.
Yeah, there was a video that was going around on Reddit and other websites of a guy filming a girl working at In-N-Out. And he asked something like, do you guys not do order 67 anymore? She goes, no, we had to stop doing that. It was ridiculous.
Because every kid
and
in there.
Because of people like you, because he's shoving a camera in her face trying to film some content. And I go, wow, this has really become such a movement. Like, I've seen it's jokes, I understand. Like, teachers are going on social media and saying, like, no, we've had to, like, reprimand kids for 6-7. One teacher's like, I had a police officer friend show up to school and kind of scare the kids straight.
That's a good bit. Anybody that says 6-7 again, you're going to prison.
Yes.
Because it's so horrible to hear the joy that children express for 15 seconds when they hear the number. Well, I mean, it was just... What are we trying to stop here?
We're all on record. We think it's great. I love it. It's harmless. I think it's crazy how something that innocuous has like spread to like your kid's age.
I still laugh, man. I laugh every time, and they do it incessantly.
All it takes is one of their friends for like their older brother or a cousin, right, that is on TikTok or something, yeah. And then the word spreads.
Well, what's going to happen soon, I'd give it maybe 3 weeks, is one of the older kids going to be like, don't do it anymore, it's stupid.
Yeah.
Right? I was on a scooter ride with Taylor the other day. I was going through the neighborhood, and I saw house 660, house 662. House 664, house 668. No, right. 666.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't,
yeah, they skip right over.
They didn't
it.
Have
yeah.
in our neighborhood. I noticed. They said, we're not doing 666.
I've seen on the highway, someone pointed it out in our chat as well, that they'll put mile marker 419.9.
Not 420.
As opposed to 420, because people steal the sign that says 420.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, because stoners will be like, this will be rad in our dorm room. Grab don't, this like, 420.
Don't a lot of hotels not have a 13th
floor? 13th floor. It's a real thing.
They do. It's just the 14th floor.
They don't have it on the elevator.
Doesn't anyone realize that when they go in, the button says 12, 14,
you don't have to mansplain.
Don't you realize that when you're in the elevator, it says 12 and then 14.
You're still on the 13th floor.
Oh, my God.
Purple says, people my age were shouting, Rick James. Yeah, there's no different. That happened. I was here when it happened, I think, when the skits came out. And I remember showing up to the field the next day, playing baseball. I got a Sunday. Grown men were like, I'm Rick James, bitch! Like, the whole game. We were crying laughing.
When we were at WWE, we were walking in, and you were telling us, they're like, saying somebody's name now, and you're like, I don't get it. And I said, is that like when my generation would be like, Kobe, and you'd shoot something into a trash basket?
Oh, what is the name? John Cena.
John Cena. You're
they don't
like,
know who he is.
I don't get it. I'm like, probably like, we used to just go Kobe and just throw something into
it. I'm Rick James, bitch!
Let's bring Rick rolling back and just play a little
Rick Astley.
All right, that's it for us. We are done. We'll have Sammy Leavitt back with us tomorrow, last day from the winter meeting. See if the Padres pull off that massive rumor deal or not. For Pauly Rindle, Stephen Woods, I'm Ben Higgins. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday from all of us here at 97.3 The Fan. So long.